Today's Bible reading is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, verses 1 through 12. Very early in the morning, on the first day of the week, the women went to the tomb, bringing the fragrant spices they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they didn't find the body of the Lord Jesus. They didn't know what to make of this. Suddenly, two men were standing beside them in gleaming bright clothing. The women were frightened and bowed their faces toward the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He isn't here, but has been raised. Remember what he told you while he was still in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners, be crucified, and on the third day rise again." Then they remembered his words. When they returned from the tomb, they reported all these things to the 11 and all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. Their words struck the apostles as nonsense, and they didn't believe the women. But Peter ran to the tomb. When he bent over to look inside, he saw only the linen cloth. Then he returned home, wondering what had happened. This is the word of God.
You know, I think in a group this size, I could throw out, you know, different ideas. I could throw out different things, and I'm sure we could find plenty to disagree on, but I think I can find one thing that we can all agree on this morning, and that's the location of the happiest place on earth. Does anybody know where it is?
Here.
Oh, that's such a good answer, but it's not the one I want. Disneyland, of course. Disneyland's the happiest place on earth, right? Yeah. Disneyland's also probably getting to be the most expensive place on earth. I think now, you know, they charge you to put money in Snow White's wishing well, you know? Probably. But it is a wonderful place, and especially if you're a kid, it's a place that's just full of wonder and possibility. It's the kind of place when you're a kid or you're seeing it through a kid's eyes where it just seems like anything could happen. It's magic. It's a great place. You know, my wife and I took our kids there many years ago when they were tiny. And we had a great time, as you would expect. You know, we went there very early. We went over to Fantasyland, and we went on every single ride there. We had lunch at that corral place, you know, where they have the petting zoo and all of that. We let them go crazy on Tom Sawyer Island. You know, you could just let them run around in those days up there. We did everything that day. We did everything from the pirates to the Electric Light Parade. But finally, it was getting about 9 o'clock, you know, and we were walking up that long mile up Main Street towards the exit, you know. And it's super hard because at that time, the lights are really beautiful there, and everything just seems so happy and magical, you know. But we're walking up with the kids, we're holding them, we're walking towards that exit. And, you know, we had had a great time, but you could tell that they were sad to be leaving. So we got up there around the Carnation ice cream store. Do you all know where that is on that corner? And we sat the kids down on the curb to have a little talk with them. I said, "Kids, now look, we've had a wonderful day today. We've done everything we wanted to do. But now, you know, Mom and Dad are tired, and you guys are tired too. So what do you say we go to the Disneyland Hotel, and we'll stay there tonight, and tomorrow we'll go do it all again?" You would not believe the happiness on these kids. It was incredible. All their expectations about how good could be just got exploded. And I mean, my son, you know, he was dressed in this felt, green felt, you know, Peter Pan outfit, and he just lays down on the sidewalk like this. His happy circuits were just like exploded. It was so awesome to see. And guess what? It was even better to do. To give that kind of outstanding joy, exploding their expectations. I don't know. You know, as we get older, I think as we grow older, we kind of lose a little bit of that wonder, a little bit of that possibility in our lives. We start to settle a little bit for maybe lower expectations in our lives about what we can aspire to. Maybe even how happy we can really be. Maybe even how useful we can be. But you know, I really believe that God wants to explode our expectations about all those things. I think God is in the business of exploding our expectations. And I think that that's what Easter is really all about. You know, those women, when they came up to the tomb that first Easter morning, man, you know, they expected to do what women always did when someone near to them had died. They were going to wash that body and prepare it for burial. They knew he was dead. They'd seen him on Friday. And listen, crucifixion leaves little doubt. When they brought his body down from that cross, they knew that it had done its cruel work. And they sealed him up in that tomb. But you know what? It was more than losing their friend. It was losing a hope and an expectation that all of his friends had. They believed that he was the Messiah, the Savior, who had been promised to them, who would come and would revive the kingdom of Israel, who would release them from their oppression, who would establish the kingdom of God. They believed that they were on the cusp of changing the world, and then he died. And all those expectations were shut up in that tomb with Jesus. So yeah, on that morning, you know, those women, they come up. They're pretty sure what to expect. But when they got there, their expectations were shattered. The tomb was open. The body was gone. And then they see these two men, these angels. They recognize them as angels, as supernatural beings, as things you do not see every day. And when they saw them, they fell down on their faces in fear. Not in fear that they were going to be harmed, but the kind of fear that the Bible talks about when people are confronted with the holy. With the holy unexpected. And as they laid there with their faces down to the ground, the Bible says, in worship and in fear, they said, "Why are you looking for the living among the dead? Why are you looking for the living among the dead?" You know, just that. I mean, I think as soon as they heard that, they must have understood that their expectations for that day, no matter what they were about to really be obliterated. Why are you looking for the living among the dead? I don't know about you, but listen, if it was me, I'd be like, I'm looking for nothing. I'm just passing through. Maybe there's some other people coming. But the women are there. They're frozen in fear and in worship, knowing that they are in the presence of the holy. Why are you looking for the living among the dead? Exploding their expectations. And then they said, they reminded the women what Jesus had said himself about his life and about his death, and about what would come next. They said, "The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day rise again." And when the women heard that, they remembered what Jesus had said. They remembered that these are the kinds of things he said. And they got up and they went running to their friends to tell them about what they had seen, that the tomb was open, that Jesus' body was gone. And that God was exploding expectations about life and about death and about his work in the world. But I wonder, as they ran up to tell their friends all this, I wonder if they were thinking in some part of their mind, why are we surprised? Why are we surprised? Because listen, Jesus was always exploding expectations about what to think about God and what God is capable of doing. One of Jesus' first acts in his public ministry was he went to his hometown. He went to the temple where everybody knew him. And he unrolled this great scroll. Do you remember the scroll of Isaiah that had the prophecy that one day a Messiah would come, a Savior would come who would change the world? And then Jesus, before all these people who knew him, said, I am the one. I'm the one that this is talking about. Today this prophecy is fulfilled in your hearing. And all the people who listened to him, they became angry and offended because they knew who Jesus was. They'd seen him grow up among them. They knew that he was the son of Mary and Joseph. And how dare he say that he is this person who is sent by God? We know who he is. But Jesus made that claim. And then he went out and he proved that claim with miracles, with deeds of power, with teaching that changed the world. He exploded expectations for them and for us today about where God might be, where we might find him, what he might look like, and how close God is to us. How near is his presence? He exploded expectations. He exploded expectations when he went out and chose his disciples, the people who would be closest to him. He didn't go to the temple. He didn't go to find the people who knew the most about God. He went to find the people who needed God the most. He went to the people who were struggling. He went to the people who felt marginalized. He went to the people who were morally and ethically broken and were in need of forgiveness and healing. He went to people like you. He went to people like me. Those are the people he gathered around him, exploding expectations about who God will use to establish his kingdom. He exploded expectations. In his teaching, he exploded expectations about what was important to God. He taught that being forgiving was more important than being right, that being compassionate was more important than being powerful. He taught that loving God was shown in the way that we loved each other. And he taught that God is always reaching for you and for me, that God is always searching for you and for me. No matter how far away we think we have wandered away from him, no matter how undeserving we think we are of being near to him, he is pulling us, drawing us near to him, because that is his greatest desire, that we should be with him. Now and forever, he exploded expectations about who God is and who we are to him. Jesus exploded expectations every day of his life. Why would we think he would not explode expectations in his death? So the women went running up there to go tell the friends, you know, they're so excited. Yeah, we saw the tomb was open. Yeah, his body's out of there. We saw angels. God has exploded expectations about death and about life and about his presence in the world. Whatever you guys thought happened on Friday, whatever that was all about, everything is different today. Everything is different on Sunday. And the men hear this news, man. The disciples, they hear this news. They let it wash over them. They grab hold of this news. And they conclude that the women must be nuts. And don't we do that, huh? Oh, that's too good. No, that can't be. That's no, not for me. Yeah, the women must be nuts. Defaulting to their lower expectations of what God can do. Huh. Well, Peter goes down to see for himself, of course, and he chugs down there. And he sees that everything is just like what the women said. You know, the tomb is open, the body is gone. The only thing, the angels aren't there. So Scripture says he walks away wondering. Wondering. Could it be? But you know, that's not a bad place to be, wondering. Because guess what? He isn't going to be wondering very long. We'll get into that next week. But you know, he has that little opening of wonder. That little opening of possibility. And here's the thing. Whenever we have that little opening of possibility, that opening of wonder, could it be possible that God raised Jesus from the dead? That's all God needs to enter into that place and begin to explode our expectations about what can happen in our life. God, who raised Jesus from the dead, can explode our expectations about our life. And he does it every time. When I was a little kid, we used to drive this mountain road, you know. It was way high up. It was about two-thirds up on this big mountain, you know, going up into the mountains there. And down below, way down below, you could see at the bottom of the canyon, the old road is kind of twisting along down there. And you could see it was narrow and small, and you could see how arduous a trip it must have been to go that route. But now this new road was up on top, up on the side of that mountain, just blasted right into the side of that mountain, and it was wide, and it was fast, and it was a good road. But you know, to make that, they had to blast through solid rock. And as you would drive by that road, you know, you could see that jagged rock wall next to you. And in it, you could see where they had drilled holes at one time so they could pack dynamite into those holes and explode that rock so they could make that road. All God needs is that little opening of wonder, that little allowance for possibility. Begin to explode our expectations. And that's what God loves to do. God loves to explode our expectations. Explode our expectations about how we can learn, whether we're students or whether we're my age, what we can do, what we can aspire to, and how we can use what we have learned to help others in His kingdom. He wants to explode our expectations about what it means to work and to support our families, as wonderful as that is, but also let some of that goodness and some of that blessing spill over to people who have nothing, what we can do. God wants to explode our expectations about what we can do in our retirement when we have knowledge and we have experience and we have time, how we can let some of those blessings spill over onto others. God wants to explode our expectations about those people we know who are struggling with addiction and how they can overcome it. Those people we've lifted up who are struggling with health and how God can walk with them through that. God wants to explode our expectations about that marriage that we think is dead. And how maybe it can rise again. God wants to explode our expectations. And the God who raised Jesus from the dead can explode our expectations about our life. The women found it out. The men eventually found it out. You and I can find it out today when we pray that way, asking God to fill that little opening of wonder and explode our expectations. Let's pray together this morning. Oh, Heavenly Father, we do stand in amazement. We stand in amazement of the world that you've created and the things that you've given us to do, the talents that you've given us, the gifts that you've given us. We lay them at your feet, oh God, and we ask that you take them now and use them, that you open up those little openings of wonder in us and let us know how you can explode our expectations today, how you can change our life even as we lay our lives at your feet. We ask this in the name of the Son, who rose on this day and who lives on this day. Amen.